Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority, but to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vonta comes in. Vonta is the all-in-one compliance solution, helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How? Vonta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted VCSOs to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vonta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vonta. Simplify compliance and get $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU startups. That's vanta.com/EU startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My guest today is Maja Rajcura, visualization champion and co-founder of Remap, on a mission to make mental fitness as common as physical fitness. Maja helps high-performing CEOs, athletes, and founders become the top 1% in their field. And she calls it, she's building the Nike of mental fitness. Give it up for Maja. Awesome to have you on the show, Maja.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Awesome. Maja, so let's get right on it. Calling your vision the Nike of mental fitness is powerful. Can you share the moment or experience that made you realize the transformative power of visualization in your own life?
Yeah, so visualization has actually been around for decades and centuries, but no one ever really knows about it. Unfortunately, the way I kind of came into it was in a bit of a sad story, but essentially, I was diagnosed with colitis when I was quite young, and there was very little, I guess, options out there. And yes, there's medication. Yes, there's different type of therapies and things like that, but there is no cure to colitis. And I was just in such extreme amounts of pain and suffering that I needed something. And it was when I was in hospital, a nurse was actually like to me, oh, like, why don't you imagine walking again or being somewhere that's not the hospital? And at first, I didn't really understand what she was saying to me, but I basically did that. I would close my eyes and I mentally rehearsed walking again because I hadn't walked in maybe 2 weeks as I was super weak. I didn't have the physical or mental strength to do it. And that process gave me a lot of motivation and power. And then when I left hospital, that's when I then dedicated like the whole year, but now also my life, to learn about, okay, why does visualization work? Why did it make me feel a bit better? How can I use it even more? And that's when I learned that actually visualization is one of the most powerful mental training techniques in the world, not just for if you're unwell and unhappy, but actually if you want to level up the way you think, feel and perform and basically, you know, have the best mind that you can. It's such a great way to train yourself. So that was my story of doing it. And now for the last 10 and a half years, I've been practicing every single day, seeing just incredible results, and now obviously teaching the world the same.
Amazing. I love your story, Maja. So maybe for those new to the concept, how would you describe the difference between mental fitness and traditional mindfulness or meditation practices?
Yeah, so I think there's two things to talk about here. So I think everyone talks about mental health, especially in the founder world and, you know, in startups and companies. But I'm quite frustrated by it, actually, because mental health is a stagnant concept. Everyone has one, everyone. Like, you've got one, I've got one. If you've got mine, you've got a mental health. It can either be good or bad. But mental fitness is this idea of what are you actually doing to maintain a positive mental health? So it's like physical fitness and physical health. You know, everyone has a physical health because of your body, but you're only physically fit if you're going to the gym or you are doing dance or yoga, etc. So yeah. In the same way, mental fitness to me is the root to helping people take control of their mind. Now, if I look at meditation and mindfulness, these are great ways to calm the mind, to give yourself some presence. And meditation is a deconstructive technique. So what you're doing is you're like slowing down the mind. You're observing it and things like that. Visualization, on the other hand, is like weight training for the brain. So you are, the way I'm going to explain it is like if your brain is like a city filled with loads of different roads, meditation is calming down the traffic, whereas visualization is building new roads. So you are rewiring the whole brain, and that's why it's a constructive mental practice. Meditation, deconstructive. Visualization, constructive, which is why you can really start to change your habits or change the way you public speak or perhaps even, like pain, disease, etc. So that's the difference between the two. One is more active, one is more passive.
Awesome. Thanks for breaking it down for us. So CEOs, athletes, founders, you work with the best of the best. What's a common challenge they face that REMAPS techniques help overcome?
So I think the really interesting thing about high performers is I see two really common things. One is no one really understands how to balance high performance with well-being. And, you know, that's why we get so many founders burning out. We get so many people worried about their well-being and things like that, because no one understands that balance. And it's not easy. It's really not easy. But that's why I like looking at what athletes do, because they do that very well. Now, the second thing I see is high performers are amazing at masking what they're really like feeling. Like, we're very good at just showing up because we have to, or going to this meeting because we have to. And I get it. Sometimes, you know, we do have a responsibility, but it just means that we're constantly like suppressing our emotions. We're constantly like escaping what we're actually feeling or what we actually want. And so when I work with them, always they think they come to me for something, but actually it ends up like being something completely different, because we're so good at not really addressing what's happening. We use our work as a way to just like escape all of that. And it's great, you know, working towards something is amazing. But unless you figure out your mental game, you will not actually get to your full potential, or you'll get to a point where you just won't be well anymore and you won't be able to even do it. Then why does it matter that you started a company if you can't even enjoy it?
100%. So actually everyone loves a good visualization exercise. Could you guide us through a mini session or share a simple exercise our listeners can try at home?
Yeah. So I guess, okay. This one is really good for managing your emotions. Okay. So sometimes I do like a lemon one, but I actually want to make it really practical here. So, okay. As founders, as CEOs, whatever you are, a high performer, you know, it's very easy that we can get anxious or nervous or frustrated or whatever it might be. So the thing I'm going to teach you called creative visualization. And creative visualization is we are creating the images, environments, and feelings in our mind before they've happened. So why we can use this for our emotions is I will guide you through this. And all I want you to do is basically like, just keep an open mind and try this out. It's only going to take like 90 seconds. So I want you to close your eyes for me.
All right.
Okay. And I just want you to think about an uncomfortable emotion that you have been feeling at the moment. So it might have been, you might be anxious about something. Maybe you're a little bit worried or frustrated. Maybe you feel a bit stuck. And I just want you to locate in your body where you feel that emotion. So it might be in your head, your heart, could even be in your gut, wherever it is.
Yeah.
And now, using your mind, I want you to add a shape or a color to this emotion. So it might be like a red fire. It might be an icy ball. It might be like a knot, whatever it is. I just want you to see that in your body. See it very clearly, the color of it, shape of it. And even think about, what's the temperature? Is it cold? Is it warm? And now, using your mind, I want you to make object or character or shape, just make it smaller and smaller and smaller. And again, just keep making this shape smaller and smaller and smaller. Your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So we're using the visualization to dissolve and release this emotion. So really make it small until it's the size of a pea. And now just taking a deep breath in and release. And gently open the eyes.
Awesome. Okay, so it feels good.
Yeah, so this is just, obviously, if you're not feeling that anxious or anything right now, it's going to feel a bit different. But this is a really common one that people can just do whenever they need to in the day. Even like, let's say if I'm nervous for something, let's say before going on stage or whatever, I'll just do this for like 90 seconds. Mm-hmm. And it completely shifts how I'm feeling and also what my body is doing.
No, but really, it does feel good.
It's cool because...
I feel a bit more relaxed, more like centered.
Yeah. And that is the thing. The brain really doesn't understand if you're actually doing something or if you're just imagining it. So that's why we can use that to take advantage of our brain. And that's just one of the techniques, right? This is specifically for managing emotions. But when it comes to your goals or your productivity or your focus, you can use different visualizations as well.
I think what's also important here is actually for people to know about it and for them to dedicate this time and know that any time during the day, like, okay, you can stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. And when you feel this way, like, just dedicate this time and like even 90 seconds and it will help you. So Maya, mental fitness life events sound fascinating. What can attendees expect from these sessions, and how do you ensure each event makes a difference?
Yeah, so I had this idea of mental fitness live because I think when people think about training their brain, it's very much like, I have to do it on my own, or I have to be on a mountain somewhere. I'm a bit embarrassed about it and things like that. Mm. Whereas for me, I was like, let's make this fun. Let's make it cool. So in the event, they're basically like clubs. You know, there's a lot of like loud music, flashing lights. Everyone walks in. There's a bit of like, hello, networking. And then it's a bit like a performance, you know, and in it, not only do we learn the neuroscience of the mind and we learn the different visualizations, I then guide people through two visualizations. Now, we have about 100 people at each event and we do them every month. But the energy in the room, oh, it's just amazing. And hearing everyone's goals and what they're working on, what their beliefs are, it's just so powerful. And how do I ensure impact? I think this is, you know, what I've learned more than anything is when people have the opportunity to experience visualization, that is the best type of impact you can create. Now, I'm not going to lie, maybe visualization is not for everyone, and that's great, but at least you came to the event, you know? Like, there are going to be one or two people who are like, okay, cool, it was a fun session, I'm not doing this again. Then there are going to be, you know, that 80, 90% who are like, no, this is really cool, and I'm going to stick with it. And so impact for me is about, what can I do for them in that immediate moment to teach them something new? Yep. But I always say, to me, a successful event is if someone can leave having either learned something new, they feel different, or they leave just feeling a little bit more curious. That's it. That, to me, is a successful event. You have thought about something, maybe you feel something, whatever it is. That's all I care about. I'm not expecting the world to change for them. No. Mm-hmm. The point is, can you learn just a little bit something new, just by 1%? That is what's important to me.
Love it. Maya, so actually when it comes to training the brain, are there any brain myths or misconceptions you often come across that you'd like to debunk?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is that, you know, when I grew up, I was told that once you get to the age of like 18, your brain stays the same, right? That is the brain you have.
Yeah.
It couldn't be further from the truth. And it's only in the last decade that neuroscientists have found that your brain is constantly changing, always, right? This is the power of neuroplasticity. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is past the age of 25, it gets way harder to change it, but it's possible. And we have to be way more aggressive with the training. So it's like think about the difference between you going to the gym and doing a brisk walk versus you going to the gym, lifting heavy weights and actually changing that muscle. So past the age of 25, you want to be a lot more aggressive with that training, which is why, yeah, you actually have to take that time to do the visualizations or, you know, rewire it in that way. And then I think probably that is the biggest myth. You know, I hear so many people being like, oh, but it's just who I am. It's just how I'm wired. Yeah, but you can change that. And so take responsibility of your brain. And I think the other thing is you don't need to spend hours and hours on this. It's like 7 to 10 minutes a day. And so sometimes you think like, oh my God, like how are we going to do that? But actually it doesn't take, it's quite easy. It's really easy. And a lot of us are already doing visualization in our daily lives. We just do it in the wrong way. And that's the problem.
Awesome. The idea, you know, actually the whole idea of building the Nike of mental fitness is super exciting to me. If you actually could create a fun or, you know, interactive mental fitness app or a game, what would it be or what would be the most standout feature of that?
You know what I'm going to say? Community. And I don't think that's the answer you probably thought of, but I'll tell you why. If I look at the sport, the reason Nike became Nike or Adidas became Adidas or Gymshark became Gymshark is because of the community. That and if I look at companies today, it's what people are lacking. Like, especially when you're training your mind, you want that community. So I think really spending time thinking, how can we connect people together? And then on a more features side of stuff, I want to build I want to give people the opportunity to build their own like mental fitness routine. So like everyone's slightly different and you're not going to do the same training as such. So how can you learn to do the routine that works for you basically? So you might do a bit more breath work. You might do 20 minutes of visualization. Like I do an hour and a half a day, whereas someone might do 10 minutes a day and that's okay. It's just about knowing, okay, this is my routine and how can I build it?
Awesome. So basically community and personalization, which is like two of some of the most important things when building a product that will, you know, be an amazing product for people. Awesome. You know, your work involves helping people become the top 1% in their field. What's a key mindset shift or practice that sets this, you know, top tier apart from the others?
Sorry, do you mind repeating that?
Yeah. So, Your work involves helping people become the top 1% in their field. So what's a key mindset shift or a practice that sets this, you know, top 1% apart from others?
So this is the thing. When I came up with this idea of like, oh, become the top 1% and stuff like that, I realized that only the top like people in the world were using visualization, the top athletes, the top like you know, CEOs, like you take Michael Phelps, you take Cristiano Ronaldo, you take Serena Williams. They're the ones who knew what visualization was and they used it every single day. And so my thinking was, well, if they're using it, why can't we? And I'm not saying we're all going for the Olympics because we're not, but we can use the tools that they have used to become the top 1% and put it in our own lives. And so I have studied over 100 elite performers, including Olympians and athletes, their interviews, research articles, their biographies, all of that. And two of the most common traits in these high performers is one, visualization. It just is. They have a vision, they know where they're going, and they train themselves to get there. And two is self-talk. I think self-talk is, you know, it's the foundation to what we're doing. So if you're there being like, oh no, I can't do this, or like, should I do this, versus I'm going to do this, and even if I fail, I'll still keep going. So visualization and self-talk, and obviously they're really interrelated. But again, it all comes back down to that mental edge. That is what someone needs to become the top 1% and basically outperform 99% of other people.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, hello.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned Michael Phelps because just yesterday I saw your post showing one of his interviews. Yeah, when he was saying that, like he learned to visualize stuff when he was a child. And then like he kept doing that throughout his life. And then like before one of the competitions when where he broke actually the world record and like brought the gold medal, he visualized like, you know, how he would like the race to go, how the race could go bad, and how the race could like generally go. And then during actually that race, his glasses got full of water. So he was actually swimming blind at some point, and he still broke the record and won the gold medal because he visualized that, and it was kind of for him getting back to the training, which is amazing, which just proves what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think when you think about it quite logically, that ultimately, because the brain has been there now multiple times.
Exactly, yeah.
Freaked out. But what I will say is not everyone is suited to negative visualization. I don't teach that to everyone, because if your brain is already negatively wired, then you reminiscing over like worst case scenarios is not going to help you. You know, like I coached this founder who like has a lot of pitches with like VCs, and naturally his brain is like, oh no, but I'm going to go blank. I'm going to do this. And instead of like, you know, seeing how it could go wrong, we focus on, okay, if it does go wrong, what are you going to do? So we focus more on that aspect and that what if it goes well? Because clearly his brain is so negatively wired that by doing that, you're just going to wire that even more. So it's important to really understand someone's brain and then be able to pick the right visualizations that are actually going to help you retrain it.
Amazing. So this is where personalization comes in picture. Not everyone is suited for like one kind of visualization. You got to just, you know, adjust it to your own needs. Maya, with Remap's growth, you're on your way to, you know, making mental fitness mainstream. Can you tease a fun upcoming project or feature that our audience should keep an eye for?
Yeah, well, so whenever I do these events and things like that, everyone's like, oh, like, are there online ones or how can we do it more? And so I've been listening and we are launching basically an online platform and community where people can get all their on-demand visualizations as well as doing online workshops, like a bit like a quick spinning class.
And awesome.
Yeah, as well as meeting the community. And so, look, I want to make this accessible, so it's not going to be like crazy, but I think it's just going to really build a really solid community where people are really training their mind. And so that's coming this month. So that's kind of the new project that's coming.
Amazing. Looking forward to it. Maya, so lastly, let's have some fun. If you could visualize a dream collaboration for Remap or for yourself with any brand or person, who would it be and why? And what mental fitness challenge would you love to tackle with them?
It's a good question. I've collaborated with my dream brands. I think, that's a really good question. I think this is, you know, I do say I'm the Nike of mental fitness, and whilst we have worked with them, ultimately I want to partner with Nike where like they have this opportunity to pioneer mental fitness. And I think empower a lot of young people as well. And what's the mental fitness challenge? You know, the biggest thing, it's just confidence. It's belief in ourselves. And that ultimately is the foundation to everything we do, whatever age. Like, you can be the top athlete in the world and still not actually believe in yourself. Like, when you think about it, it's quite ironic, but it's true. And so really working on that belief and giving ourselves the best chance to shape our future is like super important.
Amazing. I love it, Maya. I've been loving the interview. Thanks so much for your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you soon in person in Malta during the U-Startup Summit. Thanks so much, everyone. Give it up for Maya once again, and all the best, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. See you later.
Bye.